I'm Logan Webb, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
It's Monday, March 20th, 2023, and this is episode 275 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. I'm your host, Chad King, and joining me today from gloomy, soon-to-be-wet-again Arizona is Eric Nathanson. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. It's weird. Like, I know I'm going to hunker down tomorrow because it's just going to be rains coming through. It's the wettest winter I've dealt with in 3 years in the desert for winters, and it's kind of nice. It's refreshing, but you have to stay indoors for a while. And I see you guys are getting it too. I mean, it's been the winter of rain everywhere. I mean, you guys are probably done with it by now. I mean, that's kind of why baseball needs to come, to be the sunshine, because it's been rain all winter long this year.
Yeah, what's funny is obviously this is the wettest winter that I can remember since I was a child or kind of teenager in the 80s. We had a really big one, a big El Nino year in 1982 to 1983. We had another big one in 96 that had some torrential flooding, but the accumulation of water, it's record right now. This is the highest snowpack we've had since that 82-83 El Nino. Some places in the Sierra are like under 70 feet of snow. It's ridiculous.
And yeah, I have a buddy who has a farm up there. Shout out Mark O'Neill if you're listening. And every day he's taking pictures. It snowed again. It's just constant. Every day he digs himself out and there it is again. It's just crazy.
There's this one account that keeps pictures of this, I think it's a National Park Service cabin, you know, in pretty high elevation. And they post like the picture of what it was last year during a fairly snowy year in 2019 and like something back in the 90s. And then, of course, today and all the dry years, there's barely any snow and the whole building is able to be seen. In 2019, you can see kind of like, I don't know, the top 6 feet of the building. This year, there's no building.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's literally 100% under snow. It's insane. So
Today or tomorrow the first day of spring? I mean, isn't that why we're here?
Tomorrow is the first day of spring, and yeah, we're getting another torrential rainstorm, another Pineapple Express or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I'm used to Little League starting and the sunshine is starting to come, and now it's just not been it. But that's okay. We're here to talk Giants. They are doing okay down in Arizona right now. They're 9-12 in Cactus League play, so no longer in last place. Not that it matters anymore, but they did beat Team USA a couple of weeks ago in their warm up for that. That was kind of impressive, actually. I know USA didn't care, but
well, the cool thing, and just real quick, because we'll keep going past it. The cool thing was though that some Giants minor leaguers got to pitch for Team USA.
Yeah,
that was just really cool about it. Like hearing the guy be like, you know, I turned around and there's my baseball cards come to life in front of me. It's crazy. I thought that was fun. But yeah, if USA wins, then the Giants are clearly the World Baseball Classic champion.
I know, isn't that crazy? It was cool that all those Giants rookies, you know, there's like what, 8 of them that suited up for the team. They didn't all get to play, but it was cool. They had a photo of them all. So they just needed extra players kind of for mop up at the end of the game. They did start the game though with the full lineup. I mean, it was a full legit lineup with Mookie Betts and Mike Trout and Goldschmidt and Arenado and the whole, you know, gang. It was legit. So yeah, that was fun. Speaking of Team USA, they have only lost once since the Giants beat them. They did lose to Team Mexico in pool play. But they did end up going 3-1, good enough for runner-up behind Mexico. And then they went in against Venezuela, and that was a hell of a game, man, with USA in the 8th inning being down 7-5. Trey Turner came up with the bases loaded and nobody out and promptly cranked one over the fence for a grand slam, and they ended up winning 9-7. So that was pretty awesome. Yeah, it was 0-2 pitch. He got way too much of the plate. That was just ridiculous. Yep. So, yeah, John Boy did a good breakdown of that too, but – that was not good. That was not good. But that propelled USA into the semis against Cuba. And kind of expected a better game than that. And Team USA, the offense, which is kind of what we expected. Their pitching is suspect. We knew this going in. They kind of have a lot. I mean, they have Adam Wainwright, who's on the backside of his career. He's almost done. And, you know, they just have some pitchers that are good. You don't have the equivalent stars, I would say, on the pitching side that you do on the offense side. The offense really erupted. Trey Turner hit another two bombs. Goldie went deep, and they won 14-2 in a laugher. In fact, it was stopped after seven innings because they do have a mercy rule. it was just crazy.
They played the full nine. They don't do the mercy in the semis.
Oh, that's right. In the semis. That was in earlier games I was looking at that they did mercy rule. Yeah. You're right. In the semis and the finals, they don't do mercy.
They mercy ruled against Canada in pool play. And Team USA, really, aside from that one game against Mexico, like you said, their offense is just so star-studded. Trout had his moments in pool play in Arizona. And now Trey Turner is just putting on a show so far. It's ridiculous to see what kind of a talent Trey Turner really is. I'm glad he didn't stay with the Dodgers long term. That really helps the Giants out because he's a hell of a player. But Team USA plays the winner of Japan and Mexico tonight. It'd be fun to rematch against Mexico, but I really want to see them play Japan. They're the two most potent offenses left. Japan's put up 8, 9, 10 runs themselves in some games. So you kind of want to see those two match up and see if the USA can get to Japan's pitching. And it's the opportunity to possibly see an Ohtani-Trout matchup. We're one game away from seeing Ohtani versus Trout. I'd love to see it. But in general, I mean, like, how much have you watched the WBC? I've enjoyed what I've seen. I mean, has it been fun for you? Like, this is an every 4 years, and it's been 6 years for us. So, like, are you enjoying it this year?
Oh, I'm enjoying it immensely. I love it. I admit, back in the day, I wasn't so sure about it. In fact, they had games at Oracle Park, and I didn't even go up and attend them. I think if it was at Oracle this year, I would have made the effort to go do that. No, it's been a lot of fun. And I think the sport itself in the international view is growing. Certainly the passion down in the Caribbean for, you know, Puerto Rico and the DR and teams like that have just been incredible. Same with Mexico as well. Team Japan, I mean, Japan's always had rabid, and Chinese Taipei always had rabid fans. It's really fun to watch that energy in those stadiums. And I know it's not going to be the same that they're when they're in Miami, but no, it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, I think the concern even way back in 2007 or whenever this started was, well, yeah, what if the stars get injured? Because they do play in March, kind of like during spring training and before the beginning of the season. And there have been injuries in the past. And this year, I mean, we have a couple of significant injuries. And I admit, Eric told me about one. I don't know how I missed it from a couple of days ago. But let's start with, you know, Edwin Diaz, the premier closer for the New York Mets. And, he closed out a game. And they celebrated hopping around, jumping around like they normally do. And he had a torn patellar tendon. And he is out for the year. And that's the sad thing, Eric, is that it wasn't even during play. It was during the celebration, man.
Yeah, but you got to think with a patella tendon like that, you know, two things. One, that was the Puerto Rico-Dominican game. That was the just absolute star of the entire WBC. That was the game everyone tuned into. All of Puerto Rico was watching. It got the energy was amazing in that game. And he closed it out and they're jumping around. You got to think with that injury, maybe if he had been covering first on a play, it could have happened. So it's entirely possible it was going to happen anyways. I don't know. I'm no doctor, but I'm just speculating. But it's such a crappy way to go down.
It is. It's such a crappy way to go down. Oh, man. It's just bad. I remember that little kicker from, was it Tampa Bay or something
Martin
like that?
Martin Gramatica.
Yeah, when he jumped after and celebrating that kick and then ripped his ACL.
Or his Achilles, yeah.
Or his Achilles, okay. That was just like, ooh, ouch. Yeah, that's not so good. But then you just mentioned, of course, Jose Altuve against Team USA got hit in the hand, and now he's going to be out for 2 months. And there's been a couple other players that have been dinged up as well. So, look, here's the thing is that I hear a lot of people really complain about it, saying the WBC – I'm looking at, like, Keith Olbermann and a few other national media heads that are like, the WBC is artificial, it's stupid, no one cares about it. This, you know, you're risking the health of your team. The team is what's most important. The insurance has to pay out the contract, blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of like, well, you know, the World Cup started somewhere, right? The Olympics started somewhere. And no way I'm trying to compare the WBC to those now, but they are gaining. It is gaining in popularity. I mean, I would have to say the amount of media attention, the amount of fan attention, the amount of publicity it's gaining.
Just the overall vibe at the games is changing. Yesterday's USA game had such a nice party vibe for the USA people. The game against Venezuela, the crowd was into it. Like, these guys are coming out of these games saying, that was one of the best atmospheres I played in front of. Wainwright said that. The guy won a World Series. He's pitched in 5 World Series games. Like, and that was the best environment you pitched in. So it's gaining that vibe of being important. And I think it's because of, like, the Caribbean teams and that Asian vibe that they get by doing the Far East quarterfinals and those pool plays. Because in Taiwan and in Japan, I mean, it was fun. Those people have fun during the game. Like, you kind of wish some of what's going on in these WBCs got brought to Major League Baseball. Like, I don't mind the dancing ladies on top of the dugout for 10 seconds. You know what I mean? I don't mind the band kicking in. The horns are a little much, and I'm glad we're not going to have the Cuban horn anymore. But, you know, I kind of like some of that vibe, and I think that that's just incorporating it worldwide. And if it means a lot to them, why not? We're the big bad bullies. You know, we're the people that grew up with the sport. So, you know, gauging our interest in this tournament is not the same as gauging some country who is trying to beat us. They want to take Goliath down, and we're Goliath, and we're going to continue to be Goliath. Look, the United States, they're in the championship game again. And honestly, it really wasn't even that hard. They just had to put offense together at the right times. So, I mean, Keith Olbermann can suck it, basically, because, you know, on a global scale, everybody's enjoying it. 61% of Puerto Rico tuned into Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic. Yeah. I mean, you can't tell me those people don't care, because they do. It's just white people in America might not care. And, you know, so what? So what? You know, I was upset. You know, FS2 is not on my cable plan, so I wasn't able to see some of the games. I wish they had done like a YouTube deal or something like that. That would have been nice. But other than that, the coverage has been fine. Dave Fleming's been awesome. It's been great to hear him sometimes.
Yeah, no, Dave, it's pretty cool to hear a familiar voice on, you know, the mic. Yeah, as far as passion and everything like that, we know that some of these other teams and other countries are extremely passionate and they have their stars playing for them. And the USA hasn't always been like that until this year, when you have like a Mike Trout who said, I don't know why I skipped out on this earlier. He's loving it. He wants to represent the US. I mean, the star-studded lineup just kind of proves the point that these players do care about this. And so, you know, for those who think that it doesn't mean anything, okay, well, I guess it doesn't mean anything to you, and that's fine. You don't care about it. But it clearly means a lot to these players, and it means a lot to these countries. And it means, I think, overall, a lot to baseball, because it's a way to, you know, market the sport more worldwide than keep it within this country. So I think it's an excellent tool. It is unfortunate that some of these players can and will always get hurt. But just like we've seen with the Giants in spring training and other teams in spring training, it doesn't mean that Jose Altuve could not have gotten hit with a pitch during spring training. It doesn't mean that Edwin Diaz, like you said, could have been covering first in a spring training game and ripped his patellar tendon. We just don't know. It's an alternate universe. We'll never know. But yeah, they were hurt in the WBC, and it
Bum
is what it is.
Bum got whacked. You remember when Bum got whacked in the last game of spring training? Whit Merrifield
hit got
one
hit
right
in the hand or whatever? Yeah.
Yeah. Broke his hand. He was out for 2 months. I mean, it happens. Yeah. Shit happens. That's just how it is. You know, baseball, you can't go half speed when you play games. And, you know, I got no problem with it being a 4-year event. It's like you said, the World Cup started somewhere. And I really liked the structure this year being very similar to a World Cup. And I think they should just keep it, and it'll catch on for future years, because it was a lot of fun. And like Great Britain, they were proud. They won a game. Those guys were happy. You know, everybody got their little bit of fun in the WBC, except for teams like Taiwan, who absolutely folded and should have been a lot better than it. Korea is another one who should have been better than they were, but that made for upstart stories, like Italy making the quarterfinals, you know, Cuba making the semis for the first time ever. Who expected that? And then the U.S. just showed, you know, what can happen. So I look forward to seeing the end of it. We got Japan, Mexico tonight. Like I said, it'd be fun to get revenge on Mexico, but it'd be more fun to see Trout, Otani, if we can. So yeah. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm going to watch these last two nights. And obviously, I'll be rooting for USA tomorrow night. I don't know who's starting. I don't know if it's Wainwright or Lynn or who it is.
Yeah, I don't know, but I agree with you. I think revenge on Mexico is nice, but the greater matchup, I think, is against Japan, because Japan, I think, is a better team than Mexico. And then what you said is that if Otani gets in there to pitch, you could see Otani versus Trout or something like that. That would just be freaking awesome. I would just absolutely love to see that.
All right, well, let's move on to the Giants. We were speaking of injuries just a second ago, and that's kind of some of the concerns the Giants have in camp right now, namely Mitch Haniger with his oblique. He's still not performing baseball activities, quote unquote, and even when he does resume it potentially this week, he's most likely going to be out for opening day. Because of that oblique injury, because opening day is not very far away. So this yeah, 10 days. This probably opens up a roster spot in the outfield, at least for the beginning of the season. And this is where the Giants have a lot of questions and a lot of holes to fill, because you also have that complicated by the fact that Slater's injured again. And so he may not be ready for opening day either. And even though he was slated as a backup and a platoon outfielder, he was going to be on the you know, the roster. Now you have two outfielders that are probably going to be off the roster opening day. And actually, that means as of right now, the Giants do not have a healthy right-handed hitting outfielder on the 40-man roster. That's kind of weird, man. That's kind of weird. But you know,
Bryce Johnson is it, isn't he? Does he hit right-handed?
Well, he certainly Bryce got Johnson. The speed.
Yeah, Bryce Johnson is he's going to make it, and it means Sable's going to make it. These injuries themselves mean those two guys should make the club.
Yeah, so the latest buzz right now, of course, is, you know, they've been playing Sable in the outfield as a potential backup. That would be great. But he is a left-handed hitter, right? So, if you're looking for a righty, he isn't the solution. But they do have Stephen Piscotty, who is a non-roster invitee. He's not on the 40-man. And he's been doing really well in spring, and he's got that veteran presence. And I would not be surprised if he made the team out of camp, but later gets released. Or Bryce Johnson, who you just mentioned, he leads all of baseball with 11 stolen bases right now, and he has elite defense. So he doesn't bring much to the plate per se, but if he gets on base, he's a threat to be contended with. And he's showing that this spring, and now with the shortened bases and the lack of pickoff attempts and all these things, it kind of feeds right into his strength. And I don't know. I could see the Giants run an experiment this year where if he gets put on the roster, he's either pinch running all the time late in games and close games, or, you know, he's inserted in for defense, gets a couple of at bat, gets a board, same thing. He's just, you got the green light anytime, buddy. Just green light, go. Because if he has something like an 80 to 90% success rate, that's going to do nothing but help the Giants. So I don't know. It's going to be an interesting development here out of spring. We really were looking forward to Mitch Haniger, and it's not a devastating injury. He's going to be back. It's just frustrating to see one of the key acquisitions not able to start the season.
I was watching YouTube the other day. I was down a rabbit hole on some site. It was longest home runs in each park over the season, longest home run for each team. You know, they had supercuts of that kind of stuff. And Haniger popped up on both lists. There was a couple balls he just tattooed last year. And I'm like, oh, man, I can't wait to see this guy hit. And then we still don't get to see him hit. It's kind of annoying, but you're right. Piscotty does open the door, too. But, like, all these guys are non-rosters. Even Bryce Johnson with his 11 steals is a non-roster invitee. So they've got to put people on the IL and clear space to do that. I think Sable sticks. He's caught, too. He caught Logan Webb the other day. He had a pretty good time of it. Apparently had a tough time working with Webb and his sinker the first time, because Webb's sinker drops something like 7-8 inches. It's ridiculous. And so I get it, as a catcher, that ball that goes down is the hardest one to work on, but he jibed well with him better. So I think the fact that Sable can be that versatile is going to keep him in this team and possibly in this lineup, because he's hitting. But like stolen bases, 36. The Giants lead the major leagues by 6. They don't even lead them by like 1 or 2. They lead by 6. There are like 3 teams with 30 behind them. It's amazing. So it's kind of cool that they're using that as a new tool this year. I mean, I didn't expect that. I didn't see it. But it's like you said, if Bryce Johnson can do what he can and just, you know, run wild, get on, do what you can, you know, the Giants are willing to take it. And, you know, it sucks that we don't get to see Haniger hit dingers just yet. But, I mean, hopefully he'll come around. Conforto, though, I mean, that guy's got 4 bombs this spring. He's been fun to watch. Yeah. I mean, I think it just doesn't matter what side of the plate they have. As long as we got healthy, productive major league outfielders, like, who cares what side of the plate they hit from right now? It's got to be Farhan's take.
Got to be at this point with these injuries. But you're right, Sable's having a hell of a spring. 344, 3 bombs, 8 RBI. Yay, we'll take that. May not translate from spring. We've seen flashes in the spring before with guys that didn't translate to the major leagues. But, you know, he's got a 280-something career minor league average for a catcher. It's great. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Working in the outfield mostly the last year or so. This year, yeah, they're really working him back into the catching. And they say that he's got the instincts, but it's just a matter of getting the reps down. And that's all it is with him. And I can see the Giants giving him the reps if his offense continues. He had a nice long conversation with Buster the other day. Buster encouraged Sable. He told him, you've got good hands. You've got quick hands. We can see it because you're hitting over 300. And we've seen the results on the field. So, you know, we know that, you know, with the reps, your quick hands will come around and take care of business behind the plate. And I thought that was really interesting to hear. And so nice little boost to Sable, too, to be talking to Buster Posey. I mean, that's got to be kind of cool.
Oh, for sure. That's got to be great. I mean, kind of one of those legends right there. It's great that Buster's, you know, kind of involved back with the Giants. So more injury news. I mean, there's a lot of these guys that'll probably never make the ball club that I'm not going to talk about. One guy, though, that was getting buzz, and we talked about him a couple of weeks ago, is the two-way player, Ronald Guzman, although right now the Giants are just focusing him on pitching, and he just takes some batting practice once in a while, but he's not really slated to hit. I was actually watching that game live, one of the few spring training games I've been able to watch, when he threw that ball, and it just took off, hit the backstop. You know, it was like one of those way outside kind of things, and right away, he just hung his arm, and you could tell, oh, God, something popped. Something happened to his arm. He immediately just came out of the game.
You worry about it as Giants fans. We flash back to Dravecki, like the moment that happens. It's the weirdest thing. Like the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, please don't be a Dravecki. I mean, it's crazy that we think that way. Sorry, I didn't mean to know.
No, it was just kind of scary. You kind of felt for the guy. And even the announcers were like, ooh, that looks like a significant injury. That is not, oh, I have a little strain. I mean, it was, pooh, something popped. But yep. The good news is that it's a pronator strain and he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. That sounds bad, but it's a lot better than what we were thinking. We were thinking, you know, UCL or something else where he would be out for the year. So again, the guy was hitting 97. He was striking out a lot of guys. He was showing a little inconsistency that outing, and that probably explains it. He probably had something building up in that pronator and it just went. So.
Well, now hopefully the curiosity is, can he bounce back from an injury as a pitcher? Yeah. You know, if he's been a position player his whole career, that's how he's always had to bounce back. Now as a pitcher, he's got to work his arm. It's going to be different rehab for him. So I'm curious to see how he comes out firing in a couple months when he comes back. But I bet we don't talk about him again for 2-3 months until he's back in the minors again.
At least. And then, you know, he kind of, unfortunately, he was getting all that buzz about potentially making the pen out of camp, which was still a low chance. But, you know, who knows? But now it's like, yeah, he's got to fight uphill. He's got to recover from his injury, perform well in the minors, and see where he goes from there. But then the Giants kind of recycle guys pretty quickly, so we'll see what happens. Luis Gonzalez, we have always liked this guy, but you know he's been battling it lately, and now he's going to have back surgery tomorrow, and so he's going to be out for the year. So that's kind of an unfortunate loss because he was a little spark plug at times, Eric. I like this guy. I mean, he's a tough player, and it just sucks to see that another, you know, outfield option erased off the table, you know, for the entire year. He's just gone. Well, so
one versatile option goes down. You hope another versatile option emerges. This is, you know, it's Farhan goes. It makes you wonder, though, Luis Gonzalez, he could be the end of his, like, major league career. You wonder how much of a chance he's going to get when he comes back from injury.
Back injuries are always... Oof, I don't know. It's going to be the bane of, you know, most ball players and football players, but you know, we'll just hope to see that he does well. Before we get into Sergio Romo, I did want to talk about spring training leaders. We just mentioned Michael Conforto, of course, leads in home runs with 4. Sable's right behind him with 3. Casey Schmidt is tearing it up with average. He's hitting .441 in 34 at bats. So he's another kid like him and Kyle Harrison. They're going to start the year in AAA. But I do think it's more likely that Kyle Harrison will be called up before Casey Schmidt. But I think both are likely to be called up this year, especially if they have a strong start to AAA. I mean, why not, right? They lost Longoria, and yeah, they got VR over at third. But if Casey Schmidt makes a case blowing away pitchers in AAA, you know, you may see it. Certainly if VR gets hurt.
Yeah, they need middle infield help too. And Schmidt's been playing shortstop quite a bit. And so... You'd think you would see him sooner. You're right. If he goes down and mashes for a month, if he's hitting three anything, I would think actually at that point, if he's hitting 3-something, I could see Schmidt coming up sometime during the season. Injuries are going to force the issue, I think. If there's anything we can count on every single season, it's injuries. And I think it's going to force the issue on both Schmidt and Harrison. I think Harrison is less likely because they're like six deep on the rotation. But I'm with you. Schmidt's definitely going to be up this year. He's proven he can hang with the big boys this year. And he's got a nice swing. I don't know if you get a chance to see any of his highlights. It's just a smooth through the zone swing. I like watching that kid hit.
Yeah, Harrison did not have the best spring. Limited action, of course, but there was a lot of talk about how he was a little hyped. He was a little excited, got a little ahead of himself, but the players couldn't stop talking about his stuff, you know, in pen sessions and facing live BP. They're like, yeah, this kid's legit. His fastball explodes. He is going to be up here to stay at some point. So I'm real excited about looking at him.
I wonder if it's stuff we heard about Bumgarner back in the day. You know what I mean? Like, is it of that caliber that we're looking at here? But I will tell. Time will tell this year.
So, well, Sergio Romo, this was kind of a cool move. The way it was explained, at least in the news and in his interviews, and I'll play a little bit here in a second when he was being interviewed by NBC for an actual game during a game. First of all, I must say that Sergio Romo is one of my favorite Giants of all time just because of his personality. He is such a dynamic, kooky guy. Totally down to earth, but kind of eccentric at the same time, you know, always willing. I mean, I talked to him on multiple occasions, always was willing to talk to us, always willing to joke around and have a good time. And he's just, you know, one of those forever Giants. I mean, I know that when he went to the Dodgers, that kind of hurt me a little bit. I was like, dude, what are you doing, man? But, you know, I understand his family was, you know, all Dodger fans and he's going to go where the money is, but he's done playing. He's 40 years old, and his career is done. But Farhan Zaidi thought it would be a good idea to sign him to a minor league contract so he could retire as a Giant. And so he's in spring training right now, suiting up. And I don't think he's appeared yet, but the plan is he's going to make one appearance in spring training, and he's going to make one appearance in the Bay Bridge series. That is, if his arm holds up. and then, you know, Avi doff his cap from Oracle Park and walk off the mound. It's unfortunate that it's not a regular season game in which he can do that, but the reality is obviously he can't, you know. He's not good enough to make a major league club anymore, and he acknowledges that. He hasn't even thrown a ball since September, he admitted. He's like, I haven't even thrown since September. So, I mean, he's going to go out there in a spring training game, you know, kind of like just what? He's going to be throwing like – he already threw soft. He's going to throw like 76 or something in a game. I'm like, what's going to happen, right?
Oh, my God. He's going to – it's going to sell tickets, though. People are going to come to the game just for Sergio.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, this is Farhan's idea, and it's just at least one way to, you know, kind of send him off. So I am going to play some of his interview the other day. I think it was over the weekend. He was being interviewed by Kipe. Let me bring this up. All right, here we go. Play.
We've got the new guy in camp, although not a new guy in this organization, and that's Sergio Romo. This is foul back. So, Sergio, you know what?
Yeah.
I saw you the other day, and I've never seen you happier.
I think that's not entirely true.
No? Okay. All right.
How do you really feel then?
Feeling pretty good. You know, getting the old ice treatment right now by the tallest man I've ever met in my life, other Mr. Jelly over here. No, I feel really good. I'm extremely blessed right now. There's certain things that keep coming my way, and it's this opportunity to close the door where I began, and it's extremely humbling. So I'm thankful for it.
Yeah, I mean, every time we saw you in a different uniform, it was always odd for us to see you in a different uniform. And that's why I think for us, it's so great to see you in a Giants uniform. Yeah. I mean, that's where it started, right?
I agree. You know, seeing some old friends and, you know, friends and teammates, coaches and staff workers that we were part of some really cool things. You know, it's been quite the ride.
But are you starting to play catch a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I'm not trying to do any kind of sponsorships or any of that, but we've been whipping out the can of WD-40. yeah, it's not that I've been too far away, you know, away from my playing days, you know, actual like trying to compete at my best and preparing to be my best. You know, I played as soon as last September is the last time I got in a game, but I didn't do anything this offseason, playing wise. The only type of throwing I did was with my sons, you know, preparing them for their little leagues and their high school seasons. And trust me, I was not throwing the ball. I was flipping the ball back.
Well, let me ask you this. Would I be wrong if I said you could roll out of bed and throw a slider?
I mean, you're not too far off when you say that. You know, I've experimented the last couple of days flipping a couple in there, and proud to say that it's still a hard left. You know, start here and end up way over here. So it's still in there. It's just may not come in as hot as it used to. You know,
yeah. Sir. So you knew going into this past off season, you were done. You were calling it quits.
I had a feeling. You know, I really did say that there was a couple things that would keep me from not fully hanging them up, and it would be an invitation to be here donning the orange and black, and an opportunity to represent Mexico in the WBC. And once that didn't come to fruition, come to be.
Well, I'm assuming it's just fun to be back in the clubhouse.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very proud of the opportunity, you know, that you know, just to walk into the clubhouse is the first time I get to see the new establishment, the new buildings and stuff, and then to see my name and to see my name with Locker as a Giant, that it means a lot. It really does.
Well, you know, we love you, brother.
Sir, it's good to see you, man.
Yep.
Love you guys too, man. Thank you.
Well, that was cool. Just seeing him, you know, just. It's weird that he's done, but
that's what's up. You know, you got to wonder, I just mentioned Buster was in town and talked to Blake Sable and Sergio just signed. Do you think he helped facilitate that, being as they might still be friends? And it was also interesting that Sergio said, you know, he was looking for two opportunities this offseason to play for the Giants or Team Mexico, and neither came calling. So yeah. He knew it was time to hang it up and get rid of it. And you got to respect that. So you tip your cap to Sergio. He was a core member of the Giants, and he should get a good ovation. He was a good one. He was a good Giant.
I don't have an exhaustive knowledge of the Mexico bullpen, but
right.
It's a little surprising that he wasn't at least invited. I don't know. But then again, like, without knowing the full potential of these young kids in the bullpen for Mexico.
But who cares if it goes 76 miles an hour? It's still going to take that left turn. So, yeah. You know, Sergio said it himself, that it could roll out of bed and throw it. And that's what he means. He can get that movement on any speed, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, he was the last active member of the Core Four last year. And so now with his retirement, that's it. The Core Four is all retired now. You know,
he's got to go work for NBC Sports Bay Area now. So Affeldt's done work for them. Javi's done work for them. Sergio, who's the other one? Santiago? Well, I don't know where he went.
Yeah. Yeah. Casilla, I don't know what he's doing these days. But yeah, you know, you have a lot of ex-Giants that are ending up as broadcasters, you know, not only Kruk and Kite, but you got, you know, Sean Estes and a few others like that. So it'll be good. He'll be a good radio or TV personality. He's a lot of fun to listen to. And I guess, you know, after this year, Eric, with Brandon Crawford being the last, you know, connection, I would say, to any of the World Series teams. And of course, he had two, but the 2014 team, of course, that's it, right? Once he is off the Giants, the 2024 ball club will probably not have anyone on that team that won a World Series with them. So, yeah, it is what
it
is.
We move on.
It's a good run.
Look at what the Cubs did. They traded all their guys away a few years afterwards. They already have completely new ball club. David Ross is the only holdover, but he's the manager now.
But he's a manager, yeah. He's not playing, so.
Right, yeah. And so it could happen a lot quicker. I mean, you know, you watch some teams that tear down and build up and tear down. So the fact that we had a connection for so long is cool. So I hope Crawford has a good year just for that. I bet he retires after this year. I don't think Crawford sees himself in any other uniform, but that'll be a discussion for sometime during the season probably, because something will come out at some point.
Yeah, that'll be it. Well, I do want to say that this Thursday, the Giants are hosting a media open house in which media that are going, and I do plan to attend, can do food tasting for all the new food offerings. They're going to preview the promotions they have at the park this year, ticket promotions, those kinds of things. So I've never been one of these things. I've seen, you know, Pavs and others do it in the past, especially the food tasting stuff, which I'm kind of excited about, to be honest. And I plan to take my camera along. I got a new little mic set up, so I'm going to try and make a little video of this stuff if I have that kind of access. So look forward to seeing something like that probably by the end of the week. I'll put it up there. I'll probably put tidbits that day, but then do kind of a polished video product a few days after that. So that'll be a lot of fun. Has nothing to do with the team, but has a lot to do with the park, and they're trying to promote that so people come on out. So well, I'll be heading up there.
Part of being a fan, and we are a fan podcast.
You know, we like our garlic fries and, you know, crazy crab sandwiches and all that crap. So,
and beer. Beer's going to be cheaper. It's only going to be $9 for a beer now. So, no,
only.
Right. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever said.
It is better than 14, 15, 16. I get it. But, and I know it's only domestic light beer, but still, at least it's a step in the right direction. So. Yeah. Gone are the days of the dollar beer and bat giveaway night. That was always a bad combination. Which is pretty damn funny. All right. Well, I think Eric just dropped off there, but that's okay. We're wrapping up. That'll do it for episode 275 of the Torchcast. You can find all of our podcasts online at torchcast.com. Like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at Torchcast. You can also follow us individually at ChadK21 for myself and at 2OutHits for Eric. Willie's schedule's changed a little bit, so it's been tough for him to make it. I do believe he can make it next week. But you can follow along with him on Twitter at Willie Dills. If you ever want to email anything to us, it's kind of how I got my start here with the podcast. I emailed segments called Out of Left Field to Willie and the other guys, Ben and David, who ran the show way back in 2011. And kind of that's how I got my start here. You can email us at torturecast@gmail.com. But I don't think Eric is back. He's trying, but... He does have coffee in the cove. Yeah, no, we can't hear you, Eric. Yeah, don't worry about it. We're wrapping up. I know he probably had something to say. Maybe he can sign language me. He has got coffee in the cove going on every week, which is great. It's a lot of fun. I was a part of that a couple of weeks ago. So look forward to that on Facebook. It's a great Giants community of non-toxic trolls because it's kind of a vetted group of more than, I think, 1,000 members now. So. Follow along with them. So that'll do it. Oh, wait, he's going to try one more thing. Or he said, I'm this big. He's out of two fingers. No, he's done. He's done. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. We will be back next Monday with episode 276. Until then, have a fantastic week and we'll see you then. Boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TorchCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TorchCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying we'll see you next time.